I'm just going to, this is a devotional thought, so give me the liberty just to take one small portion of Scripture and just share with what's on my heart. This is all about time management in my mind. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know, I live, you know, we all know where we live here, and I just am so often reminded of how many people seem to be just wandering through life, going nowhere, having no purpose. They sometimes really can exasperate those of us that might have a purpose as they stroll out in the middle of the street and just kind of casually walk in front of us, and, you know, that's, you know what, you understand what I'm saying, and but my heart is really burdened by this because I recognize that that rebellion that is characteristic in that type of behavior is a testimony that they are not redeeming the time. And then at the end of the day, they could not look back and have a peace about how the time had gone by. But I'm also mindful that it is equally true that many, many people that are very, very, very active and very, very busy also end up at the end of the day exasperated with saying, what did I do? I mean, all I have done is got tired. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but I end up there sometimes. And more recently, I've been thinking through that and saying, no, I need to be careful. I need to redeem the time because time is not unlimited in regards to our physical time here. It very clearly says, walk carefully, walk circumspectly, guard your walk, not as the fools, but as wise. What problems do you get when you don't walk circumspectly, you don't walk wisely, you don't use your time? Well, I three things came to my mind. The first one is this. Wasting time is wasting life. You know, you can make an, I have made many, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I have invested poorly and I lost. Ever had that happen? I mean, anybody who's lived any time, you sit there and say, how could I be so stupid? You know, or why didn't I think the, you know, something, you know what we're talking about. And the one thing about those that I recognize is it's just money and you can regain it if it's an investment on the next one, if it's the right one. And you know, those things can be recouped. But so clear. None of us are going to live tomorrow. I mean, yesterday again. None of us. We're not going to live today again. It's gone. And we only have so many of them. I think, what is it, 1440? Is that right? 1440 minutes in a day? I should have calculated before I got it. But at any rate, there are only so many of them. There's 167 hours in a week. You know, and then when they're done, they're gone. They're gone forever. So wasting time is wasting life, and I don't want to waste life. I don't know about you. The songs that I picked tonight were songs that have been going through my mind about redeeming the time and about focusing on Him and drawing close to Him, leaning on Him, learning to lean on Him, learning to follow Him, go where He wants me to go. Those themes are going over and over in my mind. But the other item is wasting time causes us to not only waste life, but to miss genuine opportunities. Here's what I'm thinking of in that regard. You ever had the experience where you put off something that you know you had some deadlines to do? You know, I think of April 15th, how many people put off their taxes, and it is the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th, and 14th. You know, there's and you've got this deadline, and you've just got to get it done. You ever had in the midst of those type of a deadline? Ever had something really fun come up that you could have done? Somebody calls up and says, listen, we're able to go to the football game if you like football, or go to this, and we have extra tickets. Would you like to come? And because you hadn't used your time wisely, you had these deadlines, and you had to say, I really wish I could have. I've had family come into town, or fly through town, or old friends, and not always could I take really the time that I would have wanted to, because I had other commitments. And the reality is, when I would get to the end of the day and look back on it, I'd say, you know what, I could have done that earlier, I should have done that earlier, and I would have enjoyed the day a whole lot better. Now, wasting time not only is wasting life, and it causes us to miss opportunities. Many, many times, wasting time will result and lead to tremendous regrets. I think of younger kids in their school. I was a product of this. I really didn't care much about school at all in my grade school time. And even in my early high school, I really didn't give a whip about studies. And then in my junior year, I started to catch on that, this might be important. And I wanted to have decent grades. But I'll tell you what, it was a lot of work. You know what I was doing? Catching up. Stuff that they had, I had to go back and review what I should have learned 2 years before. And so I had to put in extra double time. And by the way, I ended up missing opportunities to do some other things because I was trying to catch up. Now, having said that, what good will it do? Everybody, remember this Microsoft? I wish a couple others here that are into this type of thing. Microsoft Windows, when it first, one of the first versions, its slogan was, "Where do you want to go today?" Question mark. That was one of their advertisements. Where do you want to go today? Now, for those of us that have been through using the first Windows, and even more so Vista, you know, it wasn't always the promise of where you want to go. It was so exasperating. But the slogan is a good slogan. No matter where you are in the journey, you know, clearly there are some that are a lot earlier in their life journey than others are. But no matter where you are, where do you want to go with the days that you have ahead? That is a question that every single individual ought to be asking. Where do you want to go? My son Jason and I talk every other day, basically. And we challenge each other with that all the time. That thought about, are we investing ourselves? Is this what God would have us to do? In particular to him being younger, you know, you want to make sure your life counts. Well, choose wisely. And then when you're there, work hard at it. Focus. Okay, how do we put this? I'm just, for my devotional thought, it would be unfair to not get around to some personal application. How are we to put this into practice? When I look at my own life, the first thing that comes to mind is I need to start building routines into my daily life. Well, and I have some scripture that is helpful to me, reminders to me. Psalms 5:3. Why don't you turn there very quickly in your Bible? Psalms 5:3. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." David was delivering a message there. He was saying, this is the way I'm going through life. When I open my eyes, I think about you, God, and I ask myself, what would you have me to do? Now, here's a personal challenge. I'm not asking for any hands. But when you woke up this morning, did you open up your eyes and call out to God and say, Lord, here I am. How would you like me to use the day? I want to use it for your glory. So I'm saying building a routine. That is a routine. It's also a good routine to sit down and read scripture. Maybe the routine includes putting on a pot of coffee and having a cup of coffee. You know, all of us have different routines in that, some of those personal areas. But in it, do you have it opening up your word? Opening up the Bible. I also think, you know, in our day and age, it's not our church alone, it is churches all over. Look now, go to the New Testament. I'm bouncing around a little. I'm just trying to share my thought here. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Everybody get there real quick. It's part of the Lord going into Nazareth before he gets rejected. But we learn something about the Savior, and we are to look at his life and build our lives based on his example. Look at what we can learn from him as he's in Nazareth. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and this phrase right here, and as his custom was, what does that say? This is what the man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, did regularly, habitually. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He went in, he worshiped. Now, we don't worship on the Sabbath. We don't worship on Saturday. We worship on the first day of the week, attached to his resurrection on the first day of the week. But the point here, is it part of your daily habit? I mean, your weekly habit. Is it a part of your routine to go to church? For myself, when I'm traveling, I look to figure out where I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes I've been in some really fascinating churches because I haven't been in a place where it's all that convenient to be picky, if you understand. I remember being in the Smoky Mountains when we were driving as a family. This is a lot of years ago, but that was probably one of the most unique because we went to this little church, little Bible church. If I ever was around the type of guys that would be handling the snakes, this would have been the time. These guys were way out there. But you know what? I still remember it. Now, that was probably 20-some years ago, and it was a sweet time. I can remember the sweet time with the Lord, singing the songs with them. They didn't have a piano player. It was just, but they bellowed their hymns. They weren't very, you know, we, as a family unit, I can't tell you how uncomfortable we felt. Because we did not fit in. We didn't look the same. We didn't respond the same. We didn't know their routine. But my point was this. That was a routine. Do you have those types of routines in your life? Now, there are many, many others. It is, I try to remind myself, make it part of my routine, to look at the faces of individuals I meet. Just look at them. Because you know what? It's easy to go around and just kind of miss what's going on in other people's lives. And I ask myself, Lord, is there anything I can do here? Now, the truth is, there's so many situations. The older I get, the more I recognize it. Boy, do I wish I could change some things. Don't I wish I could just get people to do what seems so logical. No, you can't do that. But you can still be an instrument for the Lord. You can speak a word on behalf of the Lord. You can encourage the downtrodden. You can celebrate with those that are celebrating. And that interaction is an important aspect. So one, start making a routine. Now, number two, I got to hurry here. It is very, very significant in my life to make sure I give my best time to the best thing. Now, you're talking to someone. I have never slept much, and I still don't. I sleep 4 to maybe 6 hours a night. So that's a real advantage, and I'm thrilled that that's the case, to be very honest with you. Although it does create its own social challenges. But here is the point. I am way more efficient at different times than I am in others. And I have learned that it is critical to attack the challenging items, the important issues, when I'm the freshest. I am the most creative, the energetic. And so I give some thought to my priority list. I keep a things to do list. I am mindful of what it says in Psalms 90, verse 12. We all have heard this one, this verse over and over again. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It is all about the same theme. It's an Old Testament verse that supports the Ephesians 5:15 verse. It says we ought to be conscious about life and how we're using it, how we're investing it. And when I think of give the best thing your best time, is your family important to you? Are they getting your best time? Are you available? Is having a dynamic walk with Christ important to you? If it is, you need to set aside your best time for being in the Word, for prayer, and for witnessing. Serving, being an instrument for God. It can't be an afterthought. And so many people in our culture appear to be so rushed that they're getting up and they have this routine to be out of the house in 24 minutes. And they ride for 18 minutes to their work, and they've got 4 minutes to walk from there into their job. And I just made those up as I was standing in front of you. But you understand what I'm saying? We have that routine. Even like we have the routine of coming to church. You ever notice how people come in the last 30 seconds in so many cases? Well, all I'm saying is, make sure your calendar, look at your calendar, look at your daily planner, or look at how you spent today and ask yourself, did I spend it where I should have spent it? Now, I'll tell you one thing that I worry about for myself. I am, at different times, I get very kind of caught up in this time management thing. And I recognize the error of that. There is a danger in that, where you can get. You ever been around somebody that you connected with them right on schedule, but you sense it from the time you connected with them, and tell them the time they leave. All they wanted to do is get this over with and check it off. There was no real connection. They weren't at ease. I do that at times, and I pray, Lord, let me just slow up. And connect with where people are at. I'm telling you, I believe that's very much of the Lord. People are more important than programs or schedules. Well, the last thought I had here is, and this has been very significant to me, is choose a better way to waste my time. Now, that sounds like a stupid, I actually got that from someone else, but it really, really clicked with me. Choose a better time to waste your time, a better way to waste your time. And here's what I'm thinking of. I had recognized that I had hit an all-time high in my weight about a month ago. Well, that's, I don't know about you, but when that happens, you say, this is not good. I am getting serious. First of all, I'll tell you what I did. The very first thing I did is I accused the scale of being wrong. And I said, we've got to get a new scale. This thing is broken. Pam has graciously said, well, there's another one down the hall in the other bathroom. You might want to try that. And she was pretty comfortable that it wasn't the scale. I went down there, and sure enough, it wasn't the scale. Okay. I'm talking about choosing a better way to waste your time. I stopped, and I said, okay, now what's going on here? And as I reflected on it, I recognized that the way I was handling stress, and, you know, there's times when I just kind of, I'm going to take a break now, included eating. That's a dumb move, by the way. Because there's a lot of frustration that goes on in any given day, and if you're always going to eat during it, this could be a bad move. And then if you include bad food, you're really in trouble. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do some other things. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to do something constructive with that same time. And it wasn't until I had a wake-up call. So what am I trying to ask you to do tonight? I'm asking you to think about how you're using your time. Do you have the right routines in place? Are you putting your time where you ought to put your time? Is it conscious? And I am not one that recommends anybody should schedule every minute of every day. As a matter of fact, I have personally learned that it is better for me to do it like from 6 in the morning until 9 o'clock, and then from 9 o'clock until noon, and I do it in chunks in that magnitude. If I do it any smaller, I become such a clock watcher, it drives everybody nuts. But I do it in those, and that's really, really worked quite well for me. So I do it in like 3-hour chunks. But I'm challenging you to take a look, because we have been commanded to redeem our time. And I want to challenge all of us to be careful. I'm going to close by reading some other verses that I was reading over in regards to this. Psalms 39:4 says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Psalms 39:4. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 said, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. That's a conscious walk, isn't it? A circumspect walk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Are you taking heed? How you are, and I, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're headed for glory, we're building, we're part of building this program for the Lord. Are we doing it intelligently? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, it says this about fleeing idolatry. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. It says we are to be wise. We are to be circumspect. We are to be looking at what's going on in our lives. In the middle of the week, we've got a lot of good days until we get together on Sunday. My challenge to all of us, make sure we use our time for Him. Amen? Did we get the printouts? Yes, we do. Let's distribute our prayer list, and we have about 10 or 15 minutes to pray in groups.